Good day, friends. We come to you again, and it is a real joy again to be with you as we study together the book of Acts. And you remember that Luke is the writer of Acts, which is a continuation of the gospel through Luke. And we're in the 13th chapter. We've been dealing right along now with the Apostle Paul, having been sent out on his missionary journey with Barnabas, and they have come down to Antioch in Pisidia. And you remember how the Apostle Paul preached to the Jews there and to those who loved the Lord, that is, those who had a heart for God. And he, first of all, did something which the Jews loved to hear. He gave them a brief history of their nation, and then of how the prophets had prophesied concerning the coming of one who would be a Savior. And then he proved that this Jesus of Nazareth, whom they had crucified, whom God had raised from the dead, was the one of whom the prophets spoke, and that only in him could they have life. In fact, he goes on to say, you remember in verses 38 and 39, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. This is what we were dealing with in our last lesson. This is wonderful good news guaranteed by the resurrection of Christ. And you notice as he comes down into verses 40 and 41, he gives them a warning, having spoken of the fact that through the Lord Jesus Christ men could be delivered not only from the penalty and guilt of sin, but from the very power of sin. Not only so, but everyone who believes shall stand in the presence of God in all the righteousness and beauty of Christ. By the way, you know, this ought to make you and me who have put our trust in the Savior to love him all the more. My, when we think of what the Lord has accomplished for us, how we ought to praise him, how we ought to live for him. And yet, you know, I find today, comparatively speaking, so few, even those of us who love the Savior, who seek to glorify him in our lives. I wonder sometimes if we even start the day with the thought, not of pleasing ourselves, but of pleasing the Savior. You remember how the Apostle Paul suffered for Jesus' sake. He preached for Jesus' sake. Everything he did was for Jesus' sake. In other words, he was in love with the Savior. But oh, how often we live for ourselves, and so little time is given to the Lord. Do you know why? Do you want to know why? Because it's never really got a hold of us. It's never really gripped the very innermost recesses of our being, that every one of our sins has been put away. We have received a divine pardon, that you and I stand before God in all the righteousness of Christ, and then to know that we are members of his family. Something angelic beings know nothing about, to come right into the very presence of God as those who are his children, having the right to come at any time, even when we fail him, we have the right to come into his presence. Is not this which Hebrews 4:16 says? Let us come with boldness to the throne of grace, and there obtain mercy. Who needs mercy? Failing, stumbling Christians, weak Christians. Come on with boldness to the throne of grace. He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to fill you with joy. He wants to shower upon you all the treasures of his love and of his grace and of his mercy. My, what a Savior. What a Savior. And how we go along indifferent to the things of Christ. This is not so with Paul. My, what a transformation in this man. So he tells these folks about the wonders of our Savior fulfilling all the prophecy concerning him coming to the earth to suffer and to die, to put away sin, to be the Savior of men and women. And then notice what he says. He warns him in verses 40 and 41. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. There's real warning. And there ought to be warnings. The Jews ought to be warned because their history, from Moses on down, their history is one of unbelief, of disobedience, of going their own way, even into corruption. Now, verses 42 and 43, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. When the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes, now the religious proselytes are Gentiles who have come into Judaism. They've become what they call proselytes. They followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together. What a stir there must have been in that town of Antioch in Pisidia. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, when they saw the crowds, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you have put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light of the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Let me just stop here and just briefly suggest this. You notice, first of all, the effect of the message upon the Jews in verses 43 and 44, 44 and 45, I should say, when the Jews saw the great crowds coming to listen to the gospel through Paul and Barnabas, they were filled with envy. May I again remind you what Proverbs says? Envy is the rottenness of the bones. When we come to the book of Romans, chapter 13, about verses 13 and 14, you remember where the Apostle Paul is warning us not to live our lives in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in envy or strife. Mark where he puts them. He puts this word envy, this terrible thing of envy and jealousy, which will murder characters, puts them on the same category as revelings and drunkenness and so on. Terrible thing. And yet, you know, I see the same thing sometimes among God's people. Jealous of others, envy of others. May the Lord deliver you and me from such a thing. If God is blessing somebody and using them more than he's using you, praise the Lord. As long as people hear about the Savior, you ought to rejoice when God is using somebody else. He'll use you if you'll only yield yourself to him. So don't be jealous or envious of anybody else. You're the one who suffers. It just spoils your disposition. You know that. And notice what he says in verse 46. Now he marked his great indictment against the Jews. He says, it is necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, here is a turning point in the book of Acts. He went to the Jews first, but seeing you put the gospel from you, you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. And lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now in chapter 18, verse 16, you have the same thing. In chapter 18, verse 6, in chapter 28, verses 25 to 28. Three times the Apostle Paul speaks of the fact that he was going to turn to the Gentiles. The Jews, having spurned the gospel, turn to the Gentiles. And you remember in Thessalonians chapter 2. Could I read that passage to you? It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I read these words, verses 14, 15, and 16. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, among the Thessalonians, even as the Jews have, that is, the Christian Jews, have suffered from the unbelieving Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus, they killed their own prophets, they have persecuted us, they please not God, they're contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. The wrath of God is come upon them to the uttermost. In 70 A.D., God scattered the nation Israel, the Jews all over the world. The Romans came and broke down their city and destroyed their temple. And they were taken into slavery. And if I might add this, in the first 2 centuries, Jewish slaves on the markets of Alexandria, Egypt, were so cheap nobody would buy them. And by the way, that was the fulfilling of a testimony given by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy 28. He said, you'll go back to Egypt, and you'll be bond servants and bond women, and nobody will buy you. And here Paul here is warning them, seeing you've turned from the gospel and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They'll hear us. So you have the attitude of the Jews to the gospel, the effect of the message upon them was unbelief, opposition, and so on. Now let's look to the Gentiles in verse 42. The Gentiles besought Paul that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Verse 47, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles. Verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, had heard that the message of the grace of God was for them, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, because God had a message for them, and they accepted the message. Just think of it. Just think of it. God's people, Israel, the only ones to whom he gave a religion, Judaism, spurned the Savior, turned their back on him, and would persecute and kill the servants of the Lord. And these Gentiles, raised in idolatry and moral corruption, were so happy to hear the message of deliverance that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And they accepted the gospel, and a great many believed the gospel. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, not just by Paul and Barnabas, but especially, I think, by these Gentiles who had accepted the Lord and been transformed, glad that God had a message for them, and they wanted to spread that message to the other Gentiles, that they too might be saved. And then you have, down in verse 52, you have the reaction on the disciples. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Here it is again. They were filled with joy and filled with the Spirit. Now why? Because the Word of God was proclaimed and Jesus Christ was the center. And these Gentiles wanted to hear the Word of God. I wonder, my friend, if you've got a real hunger for that, to hear the Word of God. A wonderful thing to have a hunger for the Word of God. I just suggest this as you come along. When you go to your church, go to hear the Word of God. Come to glorify the Savior. Come to worship Him. Now, starting chapter 14, we have the testimony going on, being preached, and we have it here in three places, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. The Apostle Paul with Barnabas goes on to preach the word of God. It's a wonderful thing, as Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said to the Corinthian church, I came to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ, his person, and him crucified, that's his work. Not philosophy, not any of the scientists. He didn't come with words of man's wisdom. He didn't come with a philosophical terminology. No, he just came with a simple, simple, pure gospel of the grace of God. Now, I'm not opposed to philosophy or science. Please don't misunderstand me. But I tell you, the human heart can only be satisfied with the Savior. You can have your mind filled with all kinds of things, but your own heart, that innermost recesses of your being, is never satisfied apart from Christ. Good news concerning the Savior. Now, in chapter 14, right on down to verse 7, you have where the Apostle Paul and Barnabas went down to this place called Iconium. You see, in verse 50 and 51, the Jews stirred up a great many of the people, and they shoved Paul and Barnabas out of their town and told them to get out of it. That's what you have. And so they shook the dust off their feet and came down to Iconium. But that didn't mean that they were angry or that they were discouraged. No, they were filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they were leaving behind a great company of people who loved the Savior. Now, in the first 7 verses of chapter 14, they went down to Iconium, and again they did what they generally do. They went to the synagogue first, to the Jews, and they spake, and then a great multitude, both of Jews and of the Gentiles, believed. But again, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, made their minds evil affected against the brethren. And yet for a long time in that place, Paul and Barnabas gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted that signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And the multitude, the city, was divided clean in two, a part held with the Jews, who opposed the gospel, and the other half with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Jews and the Gentiles against them, to stone them when they heard about this. In verse 6, when they were aware of it, they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Iconia, and unto the region that lies round about, and there they preached the gospel. Now you notice in chapter 13, verses 50 and 51, the persecution, their persecutors chased them out of the city. That is, city of Antioch in Pisidia. Now, when you come to chapter 14, likewise, when Paul and Barnabas heard that they were going to be stoned to death, they just beat it. They got out of there, and they came down to Lystra and Derbe, and preached the gospel there. So from verse 8, right on down to verse 18, you have where they came down to this place called Lystra. Now, rather a remarkable thing here. You'll notice there was a certain man at Lystra. He was impotent on his feet. That is, he was helpless. He was a cripple from his mother's womb who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Let me just stop here. Did you notice when Peter came out after his first message to the Jews in chapter 3 of Acts, he found a man outside the temple born lame. He was a beggar who was outside the temple. And the Apostle Peter was used by God to heal this man and brought the man who was outside, brought him inside the temple. A man who was shut out from the temple by the law of Moses, now, having been healed, can go right into the very presence of God. What a picture, by the way, what a picture of a sinner becoming a Christian. Every sinner is outside, and then when you accept the Savior, you've got a right to go inside to the very throne of God. Now, you have it right here. Paul went down to reach the Gentiles with the word of God. Here you have him, finding a man who was lame on his feet, born lame, just like you and I were born sinners. This man was born lame, born helpless, but by the power of God was raised from the dead, raised, pardon me, from his helplessness, from his crippled condition, and I'm sure he was a real testimony of the power and grace of God. And this opened the door for Paul and Barnabas to preach to the people. But the problem was, now I want you to mark it, they wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods. They called Barnabas Jupiter. They called Paul Mercurius because of the chief speaker. Now they're faced with a more serious thing than persecution. Now they're going to be worshipped. Oh, how subtle Satan is. And I would like you to notice this. Sometimes I wonder if we are not tricked, not by the severe opposition, but rather by the things that can boost our ego. Now, as we read this chapter through in our next lesson, I want you to mark this. Mark the danger. Read it and reread it. And then rejoice in the power of the gospel to transform people. And he can do it with you, and he can do it with me. Now, the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.